Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks for your word this morning that gives us life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Help me welcome the person next to you to the month of July. Tell them you are welcome. I don't know if you've had a chance to tell them welcome to the month of July. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, it's going to be a good month. I say it's going to be a good month. See, you have to say what you want to see. We're having communion at the end of the service, so please do not rush. We're going to try to make sure the service is not too long. Make sure that you stay so we can partake of the communion together. Amen. And I'm sure you've already heard about the Beloved's Encounter happening from 3 o'clock. It's not open to everybody, unfortunately. I really want to make you aware of that. Don't stay behind and you say, no, there was an announcement. You are not, if you didn't register. Oh boy, you said that thing, registration. I didn't register. Actually, but did you register for that thing? You want to stay behind. Even if it's to check, I don't want you to stay to check. Don't check. After this, I get it, sometimes you want to go home early. After there are some classes, we will release you. We will free you. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, just again, Alive July coming up. Amen. The concept of Alive July, God gave it to me based on Durban July. Do you know Durban July? So, Durban July, actually, I think on the very same 28th, all the fashion designers, the superstars, are going to flock to KZN for the horse racing and all of those things and showing off of outfits. I get it. I said to myself, why must these people do this and we are just watching? Eh? I also have my coat in my house. You also have your boots in your house. You also have your hat. Actually, but when are you going to wear those things that you bought? I said, you are waiting for a special day. The day is not coming. So we have created a special day because the winter is over. Hallelujah. Now, but there's a spiritual significance behind it. Amen. Abel, go help at the back there. Go help. Where is Abel? Help quickly. This is not the right thing. All right. But then we've got, I want to show you the scripture that is running with this. Amen. Can I show you the scripture that, we are now in the right place. Thank you. Thank you, Abel. You can take your seat again. Now, let's look at Galatians 3:27 NLT. Wow. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. So when you unite yourself with Christ, the Bible says that basically you put on Christ as if you were putting on clothes. I love July. We want to invite people here on the 28th so that they can wear Christ. They don't have Christ. They haven't put on new clothes. They are wearing the old clothes. So behind that concept of fashion, there's a concept of faith. Are you with me, church? Let's invite people. So when you are inviting somebody to a live July, you know, it's going to be a great time. You're going to come in nice outfit, wear fashionably. Don't wear the usual, the usual thing. No, make it a bit like this, but decent. Decent, just nice. I mean, you're coming to church, please. Amen. But you know that when they come here, we're going to give them Christ. But they're going to leave here wearing Christ. In the, their spirit is going to be wearing Christ. Hallelujah. So that is what we are running with. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go to the word of God for today. I want you to come with me to Revelation 12, verse 10. We're going to quickly talk on something here. The Bible says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Say amen to that.
Amen.
The Bible says the accuser of our brethren. That accuses, who accuses them before God? Hello, somebody. He accuses them before God. When? Come on, you are reading. When? Day and night. He is accusing the brethren. Who is the brethren? It's you and me. The brethren are being accused day and night before God. But the good news is the Bible says that accuser has been cast down. So our series for July, silencing the accuser. Hallelujah. What is our series for July?
Silencing
the accuser. The accuser uses his mouth to make accusations. And he must be silenced. I say he must be silenced. He must be silenced. The accuser must be silenced. You need to understand something this morning, church. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We see him at work in the book of Job 1 verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. Wow. Look at a testimony. This is a testimony that not an angel is giving a bad job. Not the wife of Job is giving a bad her husband. This is a testimony that the God of the universe is making about a human being. God is saying that this particular person, there's no one like him on earth. God is giving a good testimony about Job. Praise the Lord. He says the guy is blameless. Now, you better understand something. If God says you are blameless, you are really blameless, because God knows everything. God knows your thoughts. God knows your heart. God knows everything about us. And God is saying that this guy is blameless. Like there's nothing wrong with the guy. And the testimony is coming from God himself. Wow. At the response of Satan to that beautiful testimony that God has just given about Job. Does Job fear God for nothing? Remember, God just said that Job fears me and he shuns evil. Satan responds back to God and asks him, "Do you think that Job fears you for nothing?" NLT, this scripture, just this scripture.
Satan replied to the Lord, yes. Like everything you have said is true. But Job has a good reason to fear God. When somebody is saying that you have a good reason, he is suggesting something. He's saying, maybe you are not aware. It seems like you have the old file. It seems like you are deceived.
I mean, imagine you go to a guy and say, you know, hey, my wife loves me. You, she bought me this. And she did this for me. And then she did this for me.
And then in response to all those nasty you have said about your wife, the guy says to you, your wife has a good reason for doing all those things that she has done. Will you feel good about that response that the person, I mean, that's not a good response. It's like you are trying to tell me something. It's like you are aware that, it seems like you've discovered that I'm not aware of certain things about my wife. So this particular answer of Satan to God about Job was very revelatory. He was telling God, you see that Job guy of yours that you are bragging about, he is not as innocent as you think. That guy is not as innocent as you think. He is not fearing you for nothing. What is Satan saying? Satan is saying that Job has a reason why he is doing the thing he is doing. You think he fears you, but he doesn't fear you. There are other reasons that he's doing the things that he's doing. And what is the accusation? The accusation is that the motives of Job towards you, God, are not pure. You think that Job is pure, but Job is not pure. That's the accusation. And when Job is being accused before God, Job is down here on earth minding his business. He has no clue that his name has come up. And he's being accused before God.
I want to show you another accusation by Satan. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1.
Wow. Then the angel showed me Jeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand, making what? Making accusations against Jeshua. Please be very focused. I'm about to show you something that will bless your life. It might probably change your life forever. As I'm showing you two instances, the first instance, you are seeing Satan making accusations about Job, telling God that, no, you see that guy is not as innocent as you think. He has a good reason for doing those things he's doing. You know, when somebody says to you that somebody has a good reason, it's not a good news. Like, when you hear that this guy has a good reason for buying you airtime. They say, no, hey, this guy, he's just a very nice guy. He's very, very humble. He's always buying me data. Then a person, no, this guy has a good reason for buying you the data he's buying. Will you still be happy that somebody has just said that? You just say, hey, what is the reason? What? Am I missing something? It's an accusation. Then this is another person, Jeshua, the high priest. I'm sure you've heard about Joshua, but you've never heard about Jeshua. This is a high priest, and Satan is standing at the right hand of the angel, and he is making accusations against this guy. Silencing the accuser. What does it mean to accuse a person? Number one is to charge them with a fault or an offense. To charge them. You place a fault on you. You charge them. You say, no, they did this. Number two is to blame them for something that went wrong. when something has gone wrong and you are blamed, you are being accused that you are the reason the thing went wrong. Number three, to accuse a person is to make them feel bad and guilty for something they did. You make them feel bad about themselves. And you make them feel guilty about themselves. That's an accusation. That's the accusation. Am I communicating? Yes. Number four, to make them feel responsible for a bad outcome. In other words, something didn't end well. And you are making them responsible for the fact that it didn't end well. You are accusing them. Number five is to prosecute, to sue, to criticize, to incriminate, and to impeach a person. I'm speaking English. Let me jump to number seven. Is to point a finger at a person. To accuse a person is to do what? To point a finger. Isaiah 58 verse 9. Look at it. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Say amen. Amen. Imagine if you call God and God answers you. What a blessing that will be. He said you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here am I. Amen. But look at the condition for that thing to happen. He says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger. The pointing of the finger is the reason why people call, he doesn't answer. It's the accusations that are standing against a person that, I don't want to go ahead of myself. Are you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Listen carefully. Are you listening to me? Satan accuses us before God. You will ask yourself, why? Because you are not there. Very good. There's a reason for that. Can I tell you why he accuses us before God? Okay. Satan accusing you and I before God has two objectives. Number one, to disqualify you. Time God is getting ready to bless you, and Satan picks up that, hey, God wants to bless this guy. No, he goes there. Hey, okay, all right. So you want to bless this guy? All right. I just want to tell you something about this guy. Do you understand? Like there's you cannot bless this guy. You cannot. He has a good reason for doing the things that he's been doing. So you are being fooled. He has a good reason for doing the things he is doing. But you can't bless him. Have you ever seen a guy that sees a girl and he tells his friend, hey, I like that girl. Hey, I think I'm going to make my move. Then, the guy he's talking to says to him, you know, now I don't want to say anything, but you know I care about you. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. So thank you. Ah! What was that? I said, you don't want anything bad to happen to me. Do you think I will still proceed? I will become very afraid. And what has that guy just did to the lady? He has accused her. Even without saying a word. Just by that little suggestion, you'll be surprised that I might not go there. And not because I didn't want to, but because of that accusation. That accusation. That, you know, I don't want you to suffer, but let me not say anything for now. Time will tell. Wow. So Satan becomes aware when God is getting ready to bless you. You will come to church and you will say, Lord, give me a job. God is a good God. He will look at you and say, of course. He said to the angels, gather that, go give him that. He said, hey! Here is Josh. The Bible says that Satan is standing near the angel. I just asked myself, what was that angel about to do for Joshua? Now the angel has, Satan has come. Yeah, Bible says the accuser Satan was there at the angel's right hand making accusations against Joshua. You cannot give him that job. You cannot give him that job. And this is why you cannot give him that job. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. Now, what to the man that Satan is accusing and the man doesn't have an advocate, a lawyer to also come and say no, even though he did so and so, and so and so also happened. This is why a lot of Christians, they are waiting for things that will never come. What they don't know is that those things they are waiting for, Satan has gone and accused them that they don't have the right to get those things. When Satan scans your life, he doesn't find anything to accuse you for the thing you are asking. He enters your bloodline. He has the file. He has to find something. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? I'm about to share something very important to you. Very, very important. Oh, yes. Every U.S. president that you know, the day he comes to say he wants to be president, nobody is minding him much. But when he starts rising in power, and people start feeling, it's like this guy wants to really become the president. You know what they do? They enter his past. They start opening the files when he was in primary school. They start opening the files when he was at varsity. They start open and they will pick something from there. And they will pull something that the man did years ago. They will pull it like this and come and place it on him and say, because of this, you cannot be the president. So when Satan cannot find something on you, he puts you aside. He came behind your father. He opened the file. Your grandfather, he opened it. He will pick something. He will find something. He will find something your ancestor did. It's, thank you. Bring it up. Mr. Judge, I've got an evidence. There's an evidence here that this guy shouldn't get married. Because years ago, his ancestors made a covenant with us that they shouldn't have has weddings in this family. Now he has given his life to Christ. And he thinks he can change things that we have arranged. He opened that file. He checks. Then he pulls the information. And he brings it back. You will be surprised that you are trying to be president in 2024. But they have opened something of 1994. And they are pulling it. It's like you did it yesterday. And you did it years ago. People even forgave you for the thing. Let's talk about this thing. The accuser of the brethren. We need to learn to silence the accuser. We must learn how to silence. How to silence the accuser. You must learn how to silence the accuser. It's very important. What is the second reason why God, Satan accuses you before God? To gain permission. The first reason is to disqualify you. Disqualification. When he fails to disqualify you, he starts seeking permission to buffet you. And unfortunately, that's what happened to Job. By the time Satan was done, he had the permission to come and deal with Job. I tell you, by the time he left the courts of heaven, permission had been granted him. He descended. And do you know why he came with permission? He accused Job. And God had no choice but to want to prove that Job is not as bad as you think. So how are we going to know that Job is not as bad as you think? We need to test him. Okay, go and test him. Then he says, thank you very much. Let me show you something. Man, and Job is just there enjoying himself. Pam! Pam! But you are just there. You woke up in the morning and you didn't expect anything bad. All of the sudden, the phone call come, this come, and you're like, what is going on? I mean, what is going on? Aha! The buffeting has started. The buffeting has started. And it is coming from an accusation that Satan made against you. Precious saints, this is why I keep teaching, learn to pray in tongues. The Bible teaches us that when you pray in tongues, hallelujah, you are speaking mysteries. And you will be surprised that while you are speaking in tongues, you will be defending your case without knowing that you are not aware that Satan has been accusing you and there are many, many cases pending against you. And nobody is there. That you just appear there. The Bible says we are seated in the heavenly realms of Christ. So you can move from this realm and enter the heavenly realms and start pleading your case there. So there are see, when you get deep in the spirit, you will know that, hey, the prayer I prayed just now, it's like there was something. It's like I was dealing with something. You might not even know what you're dealing with. I'm talking about people that not, they don't just pray in tongues for the sake of praying in tongues. It's time to No. When you understand what is at stake. Man, I have shared these testimonies many times before. One day I went to work and I was there at work. I had just gotten a guest in a car to go to Johannesburg Airport. And I mean, I didn't use the preferred company that I was supposed to have used. I did my own thing. Are you with me? And I got this guest in the car to go to Johannesburg. The guest left at 6 a.m. He's supposed to be in Johannesburg at 8:30 to catch his flight. I come to work. As soon as I stand where I'm working, the Holy Ghost says, pray. Hey. So I start shandaramanda ramanda. He says, pray properly. I don't know why I'm praying, but I'm just praying. For one full hour, no guest came to me. I prayed for 1 hour. I was shocked. No guest has come. 1 hour, I'm just praying. And I don't know why. Exactly after an hour, there's a phone call that comes. And I pick the call. The guy asks, is this the palace? I say, yes. He said, do you know a guest so and so and so? I say, yeah. He just left this morning. They said, no, he just got involved in a car accident. Do you know who booked him? I say, I'm not sure. Meanwhile, it's me who booked the guy. Who booked this guy today? I say, hey, I will find out. I said, no, there's nothing wrong. Just tell them that we have solved the problem. We got him in another car. We managed to get him to the airport just in time to catch his flight. So tell whoever booked him that everything is fine. I said, oh, I will tell him. I will make sure that I tell him. Satan was getting ready to buffet me. But God made me pray. He went to heaven to accuse me. This guy just used a person he's not supposed to use. We're going to show him Pepe. And he made the accident. But God made me pray. And as I'm praying, I don't know that I'm reversing the accusations. People that don't pray, many accusations will remain pending. Pending. Man, and the things will just happen like that. The It will just happen like that because you're not praying. So he is accusing you before God and you are not appearing before God to plead your case. That's why we pray. One of the reasons why we pray is because there are accusations. Satan has gone through your family file. I get it, when now you want to get a promotion or you want something. Now you say, no, nobody has ever gotten that thing in this family. Why do you think you're going to get this thing in this family? No way. As a matter of fact, it's after you by chance that you even got that job. Even the job you're not supposed to have. So I tell you, you are just there every day. The thing it goes like this. If you open the realm of the spirit, you'll be shocked that there's an accusation that is pending on your name. I just showed you Revelation 12 verse 10. He accuses the brethren before God day and night. Do you think he does that for fun? No, there's a reason. He knows that after accusing you, he can avert the thing from happening. Like his accusation can get you to not receive the thing. If you are not well, defend it. Then number two, his accusation can give him the right to come and probe you. Do you know what it means to probe? To test. Are you blessed? So when Satan accuses you, it's to disqualify. I mean, when he accuses you before God, it is to disqualify or to obtain permission. But he has another level where he accuses you. He doesn't only accuse you before God. He also accuses you in your heart. Now, when he brings the accusation home, he is not trying to disqualify you for something. He is now in the mission to discourage you from something. Or even further, to condemn you. He is not trying to condemn you. And when you become condemned, he doesn't have to accuse you anymore. You start accusing yourself. Are you flowing with me? Like once the condemnation has sat, what is condemnation? Intense accusations that have taken root in your heart. So much so that now, he doesn't need to condemn you. He doesn't need to accuse you. He has created a cycle. So much that you start accusing yourself. And you start condemning yourself. Like he leaves you now to yourself. Or he leaves you to yourself. Like once he succeeds in condemning you, his job is done, at least for a season. So remember this statement. Sustained accusation will lead to condemnation. So like if you let him accuse you for a certain period of time and you don't do something about those accusations, they're going to lead to condemnation. And once you are condemned, he doesn't have to accuse you anymore. You start doing the work yourself. You become the accuser of yourself. And you even start doing better. You start accusing others. Which I'm going to talk about next week. Doing Satan's dirty job. Now, if you love yourself, be here next week to learn how we start doing Satan's dirty job for him for free. We do it for him for free. By the grace of God, that employment that Satan gave you, you will lose that employment in the name of Jesus. You will never again, when I teach you about accusations well, you will never again accuse anybody. Amen.
Because you will realize that you are doing another man's job. And it's a very bad job. It is a very bad job. But I'm not talking about that today. Today I'm talking about, the title of my message this morning is, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that? Ask your neighbor, who told you that you were naked? No, look, it's a scripture. Please, don't start saying, hey, Bana, we're talking about nakedness in the church. But no, it's a scripture. I mean, it's a statement. In fact, and the statement is from God. Like, I mean, it's a holy statement because God is the one who said it. Please, don't start now. Muruchi, you started again. Nakedness now. No, please. I'm talking about a scripture. Amen. Are you with me? Who told you that you are naked? Oh, yes. Where does the journey begin? The journey usually begins with something we call temptation. Are you with me? Oh, yes. What do I call it? Temptation. It starts with temptation. Listen carefully. This is going to bless you. Busi, you're going to be blessed. Oh. It begins with what?
Temptation.
Then temptation qualifies Satan for accusations. Then accusations that are sustained lead to what? Condemnation. Do you understand the three stages? The first stage is what? The second stage? And the third stage? Oh, clap for yourself. Good student. Good students. Good students. I never knew why Satan tempts people. You know, have you ever asked yourself, what does he get? I mean, when Satan is trying to get you to do something bad, I mean, Satan is trying to get you to smoke weed. When you finish smoking weed, what does he get? Like, I've always asked myself the question. These people that, I mean, you just go to their website, you do whatever you want to do in their website, and you don't pay them. Like, how do they get, like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you know very well that you went there, maybe you even took things, and you didn't pay. That the website is forever up. And I ask myself, I mean, how do these people sustain this thing? Anybody ask themselves sometimes question that, how does this thing work? It is some people's minds are way too much, it's way ahead of yours. For you to even know how they are getting what they are getting, it can take you 4 years of PhD study. Like, you have to study for about 4 years to even understand how they are making money. Not to talk how much they are making. Do you even know how they are making it? Not to talk how much, but even how. I realize that those companies are not the only ones. Satan is the number one. Like, you ask yourself, what does he get? When Satan makes me drink beer, I'm the one drinking the beer. What is he getting? I got my answer. Well, I think so. Maybe. You know, with God, you think you know. Then later you realize, hey, you didn't know. Understand? So, but let's just say for now. Let's say for now. No, it's like that. Because many times I thought I knew something. By the time God came, I realized, hey, I didn't know anything about it. So let me talk with, just let's say for now. Say with me for now. For now. Okay. At least it's safer to say like that. So, I discover that what Satan gets when he tempts you is that you've now given him ground to accuse you. Like, he is the accuser, but he's also the tempter. But he's first the tempter before he becomes the accuser. So, for the accusations to work, there must be a fault. There must be something you've done. I mean, I can't just come and start accusing you. I cannot just come and start saying you've done so. I mean, it won't work. So I gotta first get you
to do it. After I get you to do it, then I now remove the heart of temptator. Then I put the heart of prosecutor. Do you understand how he works? He doesn't say, no, let's leave them. When they want to do it, they'll do it. Then we come and accuse them. No. He wants to accuse you. But he knows he cannot accuse you. So he has to make you do something first. So he uses temptation. Temptation is always there as a bait. Just in case it works, then we unleash the lawyers on this person. Come with me to Genesis. Let me show you how he does it. Genesis 2, or 3 rather, verse 8. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, well done. From verse 6. Let's see the master accuser at work. This is where he started with us. So if you can understand him here, you will understand him everywhere else. Because before this day, we had never done anything bad, and he never had any right over us. But he used a strategy and he got to us. Are you with me? So remember the three steps. What is step number one?
Temptation.
Step number two.
Accusation.
Then step number three.
Condemnation.
Now look at those three steps, work their way out from this verse. The Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. How did she see that? He's been talking to her about that tree. He's been telling her about that tree. And she resisted for a while. But he kept insisting. Now, he's gotten her to see. He's gotten her to see what he wants her to see. God told the woman, this tree is bad. But he said, no, the tree is good. There's a lot of good things in the tree. Don't be afraid of that. It's a nice tree. That tree is actually good for you. So after talking to the woman for a while, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. A tree that God said, don't touch, don't eat. That she's not seeing that tree is good for food. Wow. What's going on with this woman? The tempter is at work. Do you think his objective is for her to see that the tree is good? Oh, that's the first step. That's the temptation. He's trying to get you to buy into the thing. All temptations, most of them, are connected to your eyes. Satan must always make you see it first. Oh, you see too. Gotta have that. You should have it. It's important. You need it. Oh, I need it. Yes, you need it. Wow, my God. I don't have the money. Don't worry. We'll find a way. But you need it. Oh, it's good. You see, you like it. You like it? Yeah, I like it. Look good. Yeah, good. He's getting you to see it first. You got to see. You got to see. That's what advertisement. 5 seconds. Pay millions. Because that little thing you're going to see is going to register in your subconscious mind. And yesterday or the day before yesterday, I went to Chief Hardware, and for the first time I saw something that I never saw before. The mat at the entrance has a message. And I never saw it. And I just entered. I said, hey, what is this? It says, buy AfriSam. Like, the cement AfriSam. Buy. That's what is written there. You are thinking it's nothing. But when you pass there, you see it. You don't realize you just saw it. And you continue. Before you go, you say, do you have AfriSam? You have AfriSam. You will not know where it has come from. You will not even realize it. But you see it in passing.
You just see it in person. Are you with me? She saw. How many things have you done because you saw? Subliminal message, exactly. Exactly. How many things have you done just because you saw? And can I be honest with you? Danny, can I be honest? I have discovered that the advert of KFC in particular, they are never like the real thing. Have you noticed that? Okay, I'm the only one. I think I'm the only one. You see that beggar, they're advertising for you. You look at that beggar and say, where are you? Come, come. When the beggar and that, you say, yeah, 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 yeah. What is this? Yeah. They show you the chips. When they show you the chips, it's like it's a whole bucket. It's a whole bucket. When the chips arrive, it's 6 minus 1. 6 minus 1. And they said, but the chiefs are so in the advert that they were a lot. They said, no, it's advertisement. It's advertisement. It's for you to be drawn. You have to see. It's for your eyes. It's for your eyes. It's for the, it's not for the mouth. That one is for. It's for your eyes, not for your mouth, please. It's advertisement. Everything, even when they're advertising oats, you know oats? Hey! It's like those oats are goldish oats that they are flying like. Hey, when you look at the oats in your eyes, they're like some dead oats. That's advertisement. Oh, he got the lady to see. And she doesn't know where he's taking her. Ah, she's seeing. And he's pulling her in. Calm. You like it? It looks nice, eh? Oh, man, it looks so nice. Then she said, it's good for food. That it was pleasant to the eyes. That's when you say, I like what I see. Ooh, I like what I see, baby. I like what I see. Ooh, he's working on you. He's getting in you. He's getting in you. That's why most of you that are on Instagram, you don't have a future. How will you survive? How will you survive with Instagram on your phone? You can't survive. No matter how you try, you can't survive. The effects that Instagram has, they are from hell. Like you cannot survive them. No. I have never seen such quality. I'm honest. Anything you Instagram goes to a higher gram. Immediately, like instantly, even the ugliest girl in your village, if you take a picture of her, you put it on Instagram, people will like it. People will like it. Instagram. The grams are instant. Like. So when I went, I saw that for the sake of my soul, I should run away. If I stay there, I will not survive. I have an Instagram account. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. It's for my sake, the sake of my soul. And because my eyes get captivated too quickly. You must know your weakness. You must know your weakness. You must know that. Now I am very much taken by what I see. They say, no. I have the spirit of God. I mean, I have self-control. I mean, God. You are joking, oh. You are joking. Before you realize, you'll be scrolling. And as you keep scrolling, there are new suggestions. How many of you will agree that you never end up with what you went for? No. When you start, you will go. You went for Alive Babe Church. Yes, I'm here for Alive Babe Church video. I'm here for good. Before you realize, yes, okay, let me just check my friends. Let's see what's happening there. Uh-huh, he's beginning to go like this. Then before you realize, there's a suggestion. Hey, you. What was that? You pass. Then you say, okay, I think I know the person. Let me go check again. Hey, you are being hooked. Before you realize, you say, but there's no problem. Let's just check it. I mean, and then after, I'll tell them that they must stop putting the type of pictures. These are not good pictures. I mean, how can you put pictures like this? No. I know this girl from a long time ago. She shouldn't do this. But you are watching the pictures and you are saying that she shouldn't do it. And there is, you are saying, I know you will tell her that she must stop it. She must be a good girl. Praise God. Pleasant to the eye. And the tree desirable to make one wise. Satan even added more information that he said, this thing is good for your health. You need it. That is the tempter at work. Look at the next line. She took it. Good. She went from seeing it. Now, she took it. Would you agree he's getting her where he wants her to go? Oh, he's getting her there. It started by just seeing. She saw. Now, she took as the next step. If you keep reading, she took it and she ate. Oh, now she ate it. Exactly where he wanted her. When she saw it, he could not accuse her. When she took it, he could not accuse her. But now that she ate, because the instruction was, you shall not eat. Not you shall not see. Not you shall not touch. Yeah. You shall not eat. So if you see it, I can't accuse. If you touch it, I can't accuse. But if you eat it, I come for you. As it always happens, she went a step further. I mean, so most of the time, Satan, he bargained for. I mean, she ate, then she pushed it a step further. She gave to another person. Like, not only have you eaten it, you have not trained other people to also do the same. Like, he has gotten more than he bargained for. He was just trying to get you to do it. But by the time he's done, he has trained you to make others do it. I think I'm talking to myself in Kalanywana today. Like, it is no more just you doing it. You are not the one telling people, no, actually, it is good. You know, it works like this. It works like this. And I went to a pastor's program yesterday, and a pastor convinced me. By the time I left there, he convinced me that I must eat meat. He told me, pastor, because I noticed when we were dishing out, he went straight for the meat. He didn't bother himself about, we were there wasting our time. He went straight. He cut, and he came and said, he started waiting for me. When I came and I sat next to him, he said, did you notice what I just did? I said, yeah, I saw what you did. I don't understand. He said, no, he said, there's a reason. He said, you see, pastor, I discovered that every time I eat meat, I become strong. I said, hey. He says, but every time I eat meat, if I use carbohydrate, no. He says, I go straight. He says, when I eat meat, if I used to have headache, now all the headaches. I say, hey, meat. He says, all the headaches are gone. He says to me, look, pastor, I used to have fatigue. No more fatigue. I say, good boy. Tell me more. He started explaining to me, pastor, you see, so you eat meat. Remember our ancestors. They didn't eat all of those things. But pap, we didn't have pap, pastor. We didn't have pap. White people brought pap. We will hunt. I said, that's true. In my village, we hunt. That's it. This is the truth. We hunt. And when we eat meat, yes, and we'll grow strong. Even an old person of 75, he's still standing straight.
These guys today, 30 years old, pot belly, back belly. So I said to him, yo, pastor, you got yourself a convert. He says to me, my pastor, I eat meat for breakfast. I eat meat for lunch. I eat meat for dinner. This is a cult. And that's the, what is that? What did you say? That's what he told me. That's the word. That's the word. He said, no, this is carnival. Carnival. I say, hey. He said, yeah, carnival. By the time it was that, I wanted to go back to get the meat, but the stomach was already full of carbohydrates. She ate, and she gave her husband, and he ate. Then the problems began. Everything shifted. Go to verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. What are you saying? Genesis chapter 2, the last verse says, the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. Why all of a sudden you now know that you are naked? No. There's a forecast that has now been brought into this. Do you know that you are naked? Do you know that your things are just showing everywhere? You. You. Is it you? All along he's been moving. Free air. Hallelujah. Free. I mean. Okay. Look. Can I talk to you guys? You don't want me to talk. Yes, sir. Look. Can I ask a question? Have you ever felt that your dog is naked? How about your cat? He said, ooh, catty, go, 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 go. Go change, go change, go change. Come on. Hey, do you know that that's exactly how you and I were? Exactly. When God created you and I, we're just like that cat you see there. That's why the cat doesn't have a problem. Or have you ever seen your cat having a problem? Like he said, you, Copa, copa, rapa, copa. No. It is us. We are trying to give clothes to chimpanzees. Chimpanzee say, look, me, look, I'm okay. You need clothes. I don't need any clothes. You messed up. Me, I'm okay. When God created us, we were just like them. We didn't need any clothes. Because the glory of God was our clothing. The glory of God was covering us. And when we were moving around, it was just normal. It was just perfect. Clothes are a sign that we sinned. And today, we are using clothes to show off. But the thing you are using to show off is actually a sign that you sinned. Your cat has never had to go to Edgar's.
Yes.
Identity. Ackermans. Foschini. And people are making money out of sin. They make you wear things. And they make you feel important. But your cat is just moving in the system and he's okay. Your dog. The fish. I've never seen a fish go to a shop to buy clothes. The clothes God gave the fish from the day the fish was born are the clothes the fish will wear till the fish dies. And you will never feel that the fish is naked. We are the only people that feel we are naked. Why are we feeling like that? Somebody spoke to us. Somebody told us something.
and it made us feel, you are terrible. Look at yourself. Look at you. Go hide yourself. Go hide yourself. You see, Adam started running. Hey, let me hide. But 1 second earlier, Adam was enjoying breeze. Oh my God. Let us not go there. Verse 8, please. Verse 6 still. Verse 6. Can I finish this? There's a lot to teach you, but we don't have time. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. That is the birth of clothing. They made coverings. That is where fashion design, all the fashion designing is coming from. The 7 coverings. I love July. That's why this Alive July, we want them to remove this covering and to put Jesus as their covering. That's the right covering. That's the only thing that can deal with sin. This covering cannot work. Verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves. Watch it. From the presence of the Lord. Among trees in the garden. What's going on? Accusations have started working. Somebody is no more the same. Temptation worked. Now we have shifted to accusations. It gets worse. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where are you?" Kokai. I can't locate you anymore. Remember, God is a spirit. So he picked. Adam has disappeared in the spirit. It's not asking, "Where are you physically?" No. God is a spirit. And he made Adam in his image. And he told Adam, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. So spiritually, you will die. That's why you ask him, "Where are you? I'm no more picking you." Have you ever sat with somebody at the table, and you know they are not there? Like they are not there. You have to keep them. Are you listening to me? You have to keep making. Are you here? Because somebody can be there physically, but you can see that this person is not here, man. That's how some of you usually make me feel when you are here at church. I look at you, I can see you are somewhere in your house. You are eating 7 colors already. So where are you? Ask your neighbor, are you sure you are here? Are you sure you are here with us? Are we in the same building? Praise the Lord. Where are you? Look at verse 10. Gets worse. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." That's the first time a man who is supposed to dominate the whole world, he's supposed to dominate everywhere, he says he's afraid. What happened to this man? Or what is happening to this man? Accusations are working. There's no more confidence. There's not fear. See, fear. You are told something, and that thing is causing you to feel, "Hey, you know, let me stay back." You are hearing something. Yeah. And then he's afraid. "Because I was naked and I hid myself." 11. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Look at the phraseology of God. God doesn't say, "How did you see?" I mean, nakedness is something I should see. But the question of God is, "Who told you?" Because it was not something you see. You always saw it. You used to see yourself. But now, you are told, "Hey, something is wrong."
So somebody is talking. He's talking, eh? He's talking. You hear what I'm saying? Ah, he's talking. He's talking to you. And the voice is affecting you now. Respond to the accusation, you move to accusation. You are this. You are this. You are this. He breaks your confidence. He breaks faith in yourself. He breaks your relationship with God. He breaks a lot of things. And it causes you to become a fearful person that can't do anything. You are not sure of yourself about anything. You just take the second place or the third place. God asked him, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you shouldn't eat? In other words, did you fall into that temptation? Look at the answer of man. Then man said, the woman. The question is, did you eat? The question is not who gave you the fruit. The question is, did you eat? But the answer is the woman. The woman. When you are condemned, another sign, you start blaming other people. Because blaming others make you feel a bit of relief that actually I didn't bring this upon myself. I was raped when I was a child. Nobody gave me money for school. This happened to me. So you start to explain what is happening, the condemnation and the accusations. You try to relieve yourself by finding another person to blame. Are you with me? You will find the whole message online.
Oh, yes.
The whole message. I have shared 8 signs in the message to know that you are under accusations. How do you know that you are under accusation? I dissect that whole thing. Everything that happened to Adam and Eve. And I show you the signs. Maybe I might review it for you next week before I take you to the next thing, because I realize you guys don't go online usually, so you miss out a lot on so many things. Hallelujah. But quickly, how do I break condemnation from my life? Like how do I come out of this thing? Number one, confess it. What does it mean to confess? Admit you've done it. Can I tell you something? Accusations sometimes can be totally false, but usually they are not too far from the truth. Accusations are usually not too far from the truth. So when you are hearing that Satan is accusing, it's not like he's always coming for something total. No. The reason he tempts you with this is because he can see that this can work on you. Why is Satan not tempting you about certain things? Because he knows they cannot work on you. So he comes with certain things. So when it's time to admit, don't start blaming people, trying to, actually, it's not like that. It didn't actually happen like that. You know what I mean? It was like, there was just a situation and I was in the wrong place. And no, look, that's not going to help us. That's not going to help us. And this is why he keeps hitting the same thing. You have to admit, yes, Pastor, I actually have God, I have a problem with this. He said, you haven't admitted. You haven't accepted that actually this is going on. Confessing means, look, I say it. I verbalized the thing that I've done this.
That's confession. So we go before God and we talk about this. But you're not saying the thing. I'm talking to somebody that will break accusations. Somebody that will break condemnation. You have to first confess. Admit, look, I've done this thing. I've done it. I did it. I repeat, Satan cannot just come and start accusing you. Sometimes he does, but most of the time you'll be surprised that the thing he's tackling you on, he has picked something in you. He has picked something. There's something. So instead of you to just always try to argue, confess. The Bible doesn't say argue. It says confess. Confess. Now, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If, because most of the time we don't. We do a lot of things, but we don't do this. They say, if we confess our sins, if we admit I've done this, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that's a better deal. That's a better deal than for you to always try to explain why this happened. No, it didn't happen like that. So you are arguing with the accuser. He says you didn't say, no, I didn't really do it. It is the woman who actually gave it to me and then I ate it. So it's not like I ate it, but I didn't really eat it because I wasn't going to eat it if she didn't give it to me. I mean, you just start talking too much. You don't know how many problems Adam could have solved for all of us when he was asked, did you eat? If he just, yes, Lord, I ate. Help me. Now God picked up that this guy wants to argue. I mean, he's not coming there. He said that the woman you gave me. So actually, he's also now becoming an accuser. Satan has trained him to accuse. Now he's accusing God. He's accusing God. I mean, many times we accuse God. We accuse God. We say, no, Lord, you know, if you didn't take my mother, I wasn't going to have this problem. So please, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Stay away from me. I mean, if you didn't do this, when I asked you to do this, if you did the way, I mean, so please leave me alone. We accuse God. We don't confess, I've done this. That's the first step. I confess. Amen?
Amen.
Step number two, I repent. This is the person that will take Satan off his back. What does it mean to repent? To turn from the thing. After you say, yes, I have done it. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Then you need to now take a step to say, I don't want to continue doing this thing. So I'm going to behave like this now. Like God has to see that you are taking step to change. It's easy to go, okay, Lord, I drank again, Yo, Lord, please forgive me, I will not do it again, Lord, please. The same evening, glung, 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 glung. Then in the night, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. I think I was tired. I didn't have self-control. But tomorrow I will do better. Tomorrow, glung, 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 glung. So you confess, you repent, you confess, you come back. No, after confession, you now need to start working towards repentance. Repentance means I change my course. Next verse. People who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them. You see, it's not just to confess. You have to turn from the thing. After you confess, you need to start taking steps that I don't want to go back to that thing. Why? Because Satan uses temptation for accusations. So when you keep going back to the thing, you will never stop the accuser. The accuser will continue accusing because you keep giving him bullets to shoot you with. You have to turn from the thing. How do you practically turn from the thing? You need to ask yourself, what gets me into this thing usually? Like, it's not something that will happen, but you have to think. You have to think. Some of you, you do what you do because of who you are with. So if you discover that every time I'm with this guy, I end up smoking. Even when I didn't want to smoke, I end up smoking. So what, how am I going to repent? I don't just say, Lord, forgive me for smoking. I need to cut ties with this guy. Like, cutting ties with this guy is a big step towards stopping the accuser. You cannot continue with the same person, the same thing that is causing you to do what you are doing, and you are thinking that you will defeat the accuser. Repentance means I change my course. You see, the turn from. So here was the thing, and I was going to the thing. I turn 180 degrees. I start going this way. You turn from the thing. You turn from the thing. I know you've confessed, but have you turned from the thing? Have you turned from it? Have you turned? That's the problem. You should know, every time I use this road, there will be a tavern on this road. And if I see the tavern, it will be very difficult for me to survive. So what do? I got to find another road. You are not talking to me, guys. I mean, just the thought of finding another road for God is a big sign you want to change. You might not even have yet the road, but just the fact that you thought about that, you know, I need to change my roads. Just that thought that I want to change my, I don't want to go here anymore. I want to do like this. Just that thought. God can sense, this person wants to change. Maybe they don't have the power yet, but they are even making plans. You are aware, every time your father gives you, he sends you data monthly, that data is what gets you into porn, is what gets you into this. So how do I repent? They did for the coming 3 months, only WhatsApp data. I don't want data. Like, you know, like proper data. I don't want it. Just WhatsApp for me to be able to tell you where I am and stuff like that. You see that step?
Yes.
You are telling God, I want to change. I want to change. But people keep saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but there's nothing in your actions that shows you are sorry. Nothing. You haven't changed anything. You haven't turned from anything. You haven't adjusted anything. Everything is the same. How can you change? So that's the step. That's the step. Some friends, unfortunately, must stop being your friends. Unfortunately. Or rather, fortunately for you. Some behavior patterns must change. If you know that every time you find yourself after 6 p.m. out, it becomes difficult to come back before 9 p.m. You end up coming back at 2 a.m. So you need to tell yourself, I need to be home by 5. I cannot trust myself if I find myself outside at 6. You must discipline yourself. This is how we silence the accuser. Number one, we confess. Number two, we do what? We repent. What does it mean to repent? You turn 180 degrees. Like, you can turn, but you only turn maybe 30 degrees. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, I mean, this is where you are. 30 degrees is this. You can still see. So you say, no, Pastor, I have 10. I didn't turn. I heard the story of a guy, he was struggling with drinking. He went to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I'm struggling. The pastor says to him, the next time Satan tempts you to drink, say, get behind me, Satan. Say, Pastor, I should do it. Yeah, you should. You said to him, get behind me, Satan. Say, yeah, that's very good. Very good. So the next time, he's in front of the tavern.
Yes.
And Satan said, no, go inside. After that, he went to his pastor. Pastor, I drank again. Did you do what I said? I did, Pastor. You say I must tell him to get behind. And when I was in front of the tavern, I said to him, get behind me, Satan. He went behind and he pushed me inside the thing. So this is a person that he has 10, 20 degrees. Actually, 5 degrees. We need to turn how much? 180 degrees. Like a complete turn. I see you turning in the name of Jesus. I see you turning. I see you turning. Number 3, plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. But this is how you are silencing the accuser. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind. Learn to plead the blood. Give me the scripture quickly. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience? I'm forever in love with this piece of scripture. The blood of Jesus can cleanse your conscience. And it can take away the condemnation and the guilt from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Plead the blood. I'm telling you, don't say, ah, Pastor, I mean, don't plead the blood. Plead the blood. Last one, depend on the grace of God. Depend on what? The grace of God. You must know that even after you have done everything I have taught you today, what will actually sustain you is the grace of God. It is not that you are too powerful. It's not that you know how to avoid the traps of the enemy. No. Actually, it is the grace of God. You need to learn to trust the grace of God. Give me my last scripture there. Philippians 3 verse 9. And to become one with him, I no longer count on my own righteousness. Like, I don't count on me doing the right things. I don't count on that. If you are counting on your own righteousness, Satan is going to take you down just now, because there will always be something you are doing wrong. There will always be something he can hold you on. So if you want to be self-righteous, Satan will always have something to accuse you on. Paul discovered that, no, I can't manage. If I want to be righteous myself, NIV it for a second for me. And to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. That comes from the law, meaning from doing the right things, from following the rules. No. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God, is by faith. Like, I believe that Jesus finished the work on the cross. Like, can I explain to you what I'm trying to say? Okay, what I'm trying to say is this. I am not standing here this morning to preach to you because I am righteous. No. By all means, by thoughts, by words, even by actions, I must have messed up from the morning until now. I must have. But why am I standing here? I'm not standing here because I'm righteous. I'm standing here because Jesus is righteous. And I have put my faith, faith in Christ. My faith is not in my own righteousness. My faith is in Jesus. That what Jesus has done is what gives me the right to stand here. I am not standing here because I am a perfect person, because I have done everything right.
I'm standing here because Jesus did it and I am in Christ. I am in Christ Jesus. So when Satan looks at me, he doesn't know who, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. It is Jesus that he is seeing. Hallelujah. If I have to be righteous, I will never make it. We cannot make it. We don't have what it takes to make it. Can try to confess there and there. We can try to repent there and there. But I tell you, Satan will always have something to hold you on. So you need to shift your gear to the highest level. And the highest level is the grace of God. In other words, Satan, you have no reason to blame me on anything. Because I am not even myself, I cannot even choose myself. Like, why did Jesus choose me? Because I know myself. But he chose me anyway. He chose me because he loves me. And because he chose me, because he wanted to choose me. So I will not disqualify myself. The grace of God. The grace of God. Now, NLT it again. I want to show you something there. Look at what you should do. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness. So as I'm standing here, I'm not standing here counting on that. Hey, I think I got everything right. No. 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 I am here standing on the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus is the one that got everything right. And I believe in Jesus. Do you see how the connection goes? Elijah, come. You are Jesus for a second. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Jesus managed to do everything right. I didn't. Because he knew I cannot. So he did it for me. And how do I benefit from it? He says to me, I've done everything. I am righteous. But I don't need it. You need it. So I want to transfer it from me to you so that you can enjoy it. This is me going to work, working for the whole month, getting my salary. My son didn't go to work the whole month. But I said to him, my son, give me your banking details. I want to transfer. Like, I am the one who did the work. But you will benefit from the work through a transfer. So Jesus went on the cross, died for us, did the whole work. But he is still the one with it. So he now wants to do what? Transfer it to us. So that we can benefit from it. So he says, I just need one thing. The only thing that makes the transfer possible. Dumela fela. Believe that I am who I say I am. Believe that I really went on the cross and I really died, not for myself. I died for you. Once you believe that, the transfer happens. Oh. Oh. Oh, okay. Wait. Jesus, you mean I don't have to do anything? You have to do something. Believe. No. I thought I need to. No. I did that. You just believe that I did everything. Once you believe, the transfer happens. The transfer happens when my son sends me his banking details. I'm sure you understand that for him to send me his banking details, he must believe that I have money. Yes, sir. There must be some believing going on. So how does the transfer happen? You give Jesus your heart. You give him your life. You say, okay, Jesus, take my life. I cannot keep this life because I'm messing up too much. Yeah. Okay, I'm giving you my life. You say, okay, so you're giving me your life and I'm giving you my life. So Paul says, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself and who loved me.
Do you understand the exchange? Like, I stop living my own life. I give my life to Christ. And I take his life. So when I stand here, I'm not standing here because I'm a pure person. I mean, I try. By all means, I try my best. Don't now start thinking things. I try. But look, if I go with my righteousness, Satan will take me down just now. Just now, he will take me down. I'm standing here because of Jesus. I'm standing here because the grace of Jesus has located me. And that is the greatest way of living, to silence the accuser, is that you tell him, look, Satan, all the things you are saying are true. Go tell Jesus. Just go tell Jesus. Don't tell me anything, because I don't know why you're talking to me. The things you're talking about are true. Go tell Jesus about those things. I think you and him can talk about that matter. That's why Jesus has become your lawyer. The Bible says in the book of 1 John that he's our advocate. So he defends us. When Satan wants to accuse you now, Jesus comes and says, wait, hold on, Mr. Devil. Well, Father, what he's saying is true. Tapelo did those things. It's true. But he doesn't tell the whole truth. The truth here is that Tapelo gave his life to me. So I paid for what Tapelo did. My blood was shed for what Tapelo did. Sylvia made an abortion, and I know that she's supposed to go down. But I paid even for that abortion. She doesn't have to suffer because I suffered for her. And because she gave her life to me, she is under my custody. And from that moment, Satan takes his files. He said, I'll if there's something, Kiatla, I'll come back if there's something. Let's case closed. Somebody, case closed. Hallelujah. Case closed. You don't like it, eh? Until you find yourself in court and you see that you're about to be condemned. And somebody enters. He says, excuse me, sir. Please forgive me. I was delayed because of traffic. But I'm here now. And I want us to reopen the proceedings. And I want to say a word or two about this matter. Hey, even if your heart was beating like this. Hey, okay. Oh, Lord. Ooh, look at it. My little children. These things are right to you. So that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he said, I don't want you to sin. But just in case, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Woo! We have an advocate. Don't just go down for free. Call the lawyer. Why don't you call your lawyer? I mean, you are letting the prosecutor just nail you. And that is what accusations are. He has a hammer and he's nailing. And every hit, the nail is going down. So you are sinking. He's him. You are going down. And he's hit. You are going down. If he keeps sustaining the accusations, by the time you open your eyes, you have disappeared. Like a nail disappears inside a wood. You can't find it anymore. Case closed. If you don't call your lawyer to come, your advocate. Advocate means lawyer. I hope there is a version that can say, these people might not even understand advocate. Lawyer. Why do we need a lawyer? Because there's a court where Satan goes to accuse you. He's a prosecutor. What is this famous South African prosecutor? What is that guy name? The guy who was prosecuting Pretorius. Oscar Pretorius. Huh? What is his name? Hernell. Nell. His name is, Nell, that guy. one of the most feared prosecutors in South Africa. If your file lands in his hand, you are finished. Like you should already know yourself that if your file lands in his table, you are out. You are out. But even Nell cannot match Satan. He is no match. But the Bible says we have an advocate before the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This morning, I want to challenge you to do like Peter. When you get accused by Satan, you can respond in two ways. You can respond like Judas. Judas messed up. And you know Judas, after Judas messed up, he realized he messed up. The Bible says he went back to the temple and returned the money. He even said, I did something bad. I betrayed innocent blood. The people say, it's your problem. We are not interested. He left there. He went and hanged himself. The accuser messed him up. So much so that he convinced him, look, there's no hope for you. Just kill yourself. Peter did the same thing. Not once, not twice, but three times. But Peter said, you know what? I did it. I'll confess. I'll repent. I'm waiting for Jesus to finish the work on the cross there. I'll plead the blood. And once it's done, the grace will work. I don't need to kill myself. Do you know that if Judas had just stayed alive for 4 days, he was going to realize that Jesus is back again. And there was going to be no need for Judas to die. All Judas needed to do was to stay alive, actually for just 3 days. But Satan hammered Judas. You've messed up. Look at what you've done. Look at what you've done. There's no hope for you. Please, and he pushed him. He sent him in the field. He hanged himself. Killing yourself will never solve that problem, brother. Never solve the problem. It will never solve the problem. I mean, the guy killed himself, and then the person he died for was not alive. And he was dead. He just needed to stay alive for 3 days. Can I tell you something? Just try to stay alive for 3 more years. Don't die. Tell your neighbor, don't die yet. Don't die yet. You'll be surprised that this thing that wants to kill you will die. I said the thing that wants to kill you will die. It 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 will die. Just 3 more years, 3 more weeks. The guy just needed 3 days. And he was going to say, wow, I almost died. And Jesus is back. Hey, Jesus, hey, sorry, man, sorry. I don't know what came over me. I mean, Peter never repented. Peter never repented. Jesus needed to ask him, do you love me? But the Bible says Judas repented. Not only did Judas repent, Judas restituted. He retained the things. He retained the money. But Satan condemned him so much that he said, you know what? It's over, man. It's over. There's no need. There's nothing like that. As long as there's a God in heaven, your case is not a closed case until he says it is a closed case. I'm telling you right now, it is not over until God says it's over. So don't make it over before the time. Dust yourself up. Take yourself back to God. Don't run from God. Run to God. Say to Lord, I'm here. I have messed up. When the prodigal son went back to the father, he said, Father, I have sinned. He said, shut up. Come here. Change his clothes. He is crying that he messed up. The father said, change his clothes. Give him new clothes. He said, I've messed up. It's me. I've messed up. He said, remove his, put sandals on him. It's me. I've, put a ring on his finger. That's a father. You feel you've messed up too much. So you can never mess up too much to fall out of my grace. No matter what you've done, my grace can reach there. My grace can reach there. Can we be on our feet, please? Come on, won't you don't thank God this morning for his grace that has reached us. Come on, this morning God says his grace. Play the blood of Jesus for me there. The grace of God has reached us. It has reached us. Come on, somebody, reach to the grace this morning. Don't allow the accuser continue to molest you. Don't allow the accuser to continue to molest you. Reach out to the grace of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Even if you just want to thank him this morning for the grace he has given you, that Satan doesn't have the right he had before. Not that one. Not that one. Abel, help him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Sere kataka para mandereba. Reza koro pala mandere manderebe. Razi katere pala shere pala manda. Oh, come on. Reach out to the grace. Richard, 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 Richard.
Just a month left of his glory.
Oh, yes.
All my shame is.
Oh, yes. The grace of God is reaching us this morning.
Just one word in your presence.
Before your lawyer, let him defend you through his blood. Let him defend you this morning. Let him fight for you. Let him fight for you. I don't know the accusation, but the lawyer is here this morning to defend you. Oh, yes. Oh, let the blood of Jesus touch you this in.
I plead your blood, oh God. I plead your blood, oh God. I confess, oh God, of all my sins. I confess, oh God, of all my sins, oh God. I've come short of your glory, oh God. And this afternoon, I confess unto you, oh God. I confess unto you, oh God, that I've come short of your glory. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm making a 180 degrees turn. I'm turning away from my wicked ways, oh God. I'm repenting from my wicked ways, oh God. Somebody begin to repent wherever you are and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent. I confess this morning that I've done wrong. I confess this morning that I have sinned, oh God. I've come short of your glory. And this morning I say, Lord, I repent, oh God. I turn away from my wicked ways, oh God. I turn away from my wicked ways, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, somebody begin to repent wherever you are. Begin to repent wherever you are. Begin to repent wherever you are. The Bible says, if we we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us. The Lord wants to forgive you this morning. Begin to confess and to repent right now. Begin to confess and to repent right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to also begin to plead the blood. Begin to plead the blood over your life. Begin to plead the blood over your life. Begin to plead the blood over your life. Begin to plead the blood right now. The Bible says, though your sins were as red as scarlet, the Bible says His blood washes you to become as white as snow. His blood is washing you right now. His blood is washing you right now. Begin to plead the blood over yourself. Begin to plead the blood over your family. Begin to plead the blood over your pastor. Begin to plead the blood right now. Begin to plead the blood right now. And believe that because of the blood of Jesus, you have been forgiven. Because of the blood that He shed on the cross, you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. The Bible says we have been made blameless. We have been made blameless through the blood of Jesus. We have been made blameless through the blood of Jesus. The Bible says when He died on the cross, He took your place and my place. When He died on the cross, He took our place. He carried our sins for us. The Bible says He was made to be sin for us, even though He had no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through Christ. Lord, we thank You. Thank You, oh Father. Thank You, oh Father. Oh Father, right now we are depending on Your grace. We are depending on Your grace. Begin to say it right now to Him and say, Lord, I depend on Your grace. I do not depend on my works. I do not depend on my deeds. I'm depending on Your grace, oh God. The Bible says our works are as filthy rags. Father, this morning we do not depend on our works, but we depend on Your grace this morning, oh God. We depend on Your grace this morning, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood. Jesus wants to silence the accuser once and for all this morning for Your sake. And He's saying this morning, it all starts with you receiving Him in your heart. For Him to be your advocate, you have to believe that He died and He rose again for you. So that whenever the accusations come from the enemy, He can be able to stand and argue on your sake. This morning, if you are here and you are saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to end the accusations once and for all. Jesus is saying, I want to close the case. I want to close the case that has been set against you. I want to close all the accusations that have been risen against you. I want to end it all right now. If you are here today, and you're saying, I want to enter into that place where the case that has been risen against me has been closed. Jesus is saying, you need to receive Him in your heart. If you're here this afternoon, you're saying, I want to receive Jesus in my heart. I want to start afresh with Him. I want to start a new life. The Bible says, those that are in Christ are a new creation. You are saying this morning that I want to be that new creation. I want every accusation to be nullified and to lose its grip on me. As I count up to three, I want you to lift up your right hand boldly and I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand boldly. I see all those hands that are rising. Hands are rising in this place. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, lift it up high. Lift it up high. I see all those hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can drop your hands. Maybe you are also here. You've already given your life to Jesus. But you realize that Satan still found a way to raise accusations against you. Satan still found a way to make you to condemn yourself. I also want to give you an opportunity. You're saying you want to recommit your life to Him. You want to commit yourself to Him again. I also want to give you an opportunity. As I count up to three, also lift up your right hand boldly. And I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three, lift up your right hand. I see your hands. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see all those hands.
God bless you. You can drop them. Now, if you lifted up your hand for the first or second altar call, do me one more favor. Just come to the front and we are going to pray together. You don't have to clap. In the same mood, if you know you lifted up your hand, just come to the front and we are going to pray together. You can begin to come. You can begin to come. If you lifted up your hand for the first or second altar call, just come to the front right now. We are going to pray together. Be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord right now. He's in this place. You can come. You can come. Come quickly so that we can pray together. If you know you lifted up your hand, if there's anybody next to you that lifted up their hand, can just usher them to come so that we can all pray. We can all pray. You can still come if you lifted up your hand. You can still come. You can still come. Let's be very sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Now I want all of us, those that are in front and those in the congregation, as we are about to pray right now, I want you to lift up both your hands and just focus on God. Lift up both your hands. And I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. I want you to mean everything that you say. Repeat after me right now. Say, Lord Jesus. Repeat it again. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe that you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven, that I am justified by your blood. I am saved. I am restored. I am born again. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.